Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Fergal McNamara, who's a GP with Pure Street Medical, and podiatrist Mary Moore. And you're here to talk about all things foot-related, including ingrown toenails, because we've quite a few questions on the ingrown toenails. We might start with that, Mary. Are some people more at risk than others when it comes to ingrown toenails?
Yes, in my experience in my clinic, probably the biggest cohort or biggest group would be teenagers, because they're playing like lots of sport. And their feet are getting kind of sweaty. Maybe they're wearing football boots that are got too small, and it could be a couple of weeks before they're going to bring it to the attention of their parents, and then their nail has become ingrown and irritated, infected, and so that'll be one of the groups.
Is it anything to do with how we're cutting our toenails?
Sometimes it can be. Yeah, sometimes people are picking at their nails, or that they cut it too short. Or some people are very unlucky, and that is actually the shape of their nails. They're convoluted, they're curled on both sides. Sometimes it's like over, maybe pedicuring. And then other times it can be related to the footwear. So
it's too tight.
Too tight or not enough depth. If they're, the mechanics of their foot might be that their toes actually sit up when they're walking, and then it bashes on the top of the shoe. Other occasions it can be because of the shoe they have to wear for work, like a steel cap boot can
What's happening there with the steel? Because I thought the steel cap boot would protect the toe.
Yeah, so it protects from things falling onto the foot, but because it's a rigid plate or a composite plate, often they are now, the toe, if the toe posture isn't perfect, if maybe they have a bunion or a hammer toe, then it'll the rigidity of that will aggravate and cause an ingrown toenail.
Well, listen, we've loads of questions coming in, and Fergal, you might take this one for us. So a 15-year-old son crippled with ingrown toenails. So that's, Mary, like you were saying, teenagers. Yeah. Please ask, is there anything we can do to stop them coming back? So they've already spent a fortune, they say, on treatment and surgery, but a couple of months later, we're back to square one, the same big toe.
Okay. Well, I was that 15-year-old, so I can empathise. So it's strange that they've had the surgery and it hasn't corrected, because usually the surgery, you know, if they've been through kind of the general foot care, as Mary was talking about, improving the shoes, trying to reduce the sweating, try to, you know, cut the nail straight across to avoid it kind of digging into the side.
Is that the best way to cut the nail?
Yeah, to cut it straight across. Yeah, and then
Mary, hang on a second now. Mary, do you not agree with that?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I think it depends. I think it often depends on the actual shape of the nail plate. So often that is good, but then sometimes it's not. It depends on the shape of the toe, the shape of the foot. So, yeah. Put it cleanly and filing it down. Right. But sometimes you have to have a softer shape. You can't have it a completely square.
Okay. So it depends on the shape of your nail.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and the shape of your toe.
Right.
And what your foot is doing when you're walking and moving.
Tricky for us to work out
it
all
is.
Of those
That's
factors,
why
isn't it?
If you're in doubt, or if it's not, you know, resolving, to attend your local podiatrist if it's a problem, for sure.
Okay, so back to our teenager then, who has the recurrent ingrowing toenail.
Yeah, so I mean, certainly the definitive option is the surgical option, where we numb the toe, we give a ring block, then we basically do an avulsion, which sounds a bit nasty, where you're putting a ratchet forceps in under the nail bed, clamping onto it, and then essentially twisting it across. So a little bit like if you're...
I'm wincing.
Yeah. So I suppose the analogy is the old school tins of tuna and tins, you know, the metal is curling across.
Maybe when you're doing it. I'm doing it.
Maybe I'm not as nice as Mary. Well, I mean, they're fully numbed, but you can see that, you know, they're happy with it. They're getting satisfaction. And then you're trimming that nail down. You're trimming it right down to the root. And then the key part then is the matrixectomy. So this is the part that really needs to be done effectively to avoid that part of the nail growing coming back. And you can do it either mechanically with just scraping that part of the matrix. The matrix is where the nail grows from. Or you can use phenol, which is a chemical agent, or you can use cautery, electrocautery. So they're the three techniques.
Okay, and that should deal with it, and it shouldn't come back then.
I mean, they can always come back. I suppose no matter what we do, you know, procedures can fail. But certainly that is the most definitive treatment out there.
Now, we had a photograph which came into us, and I know you've both seen this one. Mary, you might take this one. A black substance coming and going at the side of the big toenails, which is difficult to remove. This person is using cotton buds. Could it be an infection?
Well, it was difficult to tell with the photo, but it could be that it's maybe a slight fungal infection or a bit of just congealed blood or staining from some kind of sock or shoe. It didn't, from the image, didn't look worrying. There was no signs of redness around the toe. But if that person is really worried, if it's hot, swollen toe, you couldn't tell that it was... You know, I couldn't feel the temperature from the image, but if they're worried, they should see their podiatrist or their GP. But it didn't. There wasn't any pus or anything oozing from it. It looked fairly okay from the image.
But they say that they're getting some sort of black stuff,
browny color, there
from the side.
So that could be. It could be a fungal infection or just dry blood, because the nail. You know, the nail doesn't have a blood supply, but the underneath does, the nail bed. So they may have bruised. It's a very slight, you know, bruise or a knock. But from the image we saw, it didn't look particularly...
What did you think of it, Virgil?
Yeah, very much along the lines of Mary. I mean, I suppose the only other thing would maybe be a subungual hematoma, where Mary is saying, like, maybe where there's a little bit of bleeding underneath and that blood has basically gotten old and decayed and turned a dark colour. Yeah. Now, sometimes people come in and they can be drained, but given the whole history and given what it looks encrusted, it looks like there's probably a bit of infection there.
Okay, so you might be better off going to your GP. Yeah. You mentioned fungal nails and those types of infections. And the basic question from a listener is, how do you get rid of it? And then they ask, is blue light effective?
So fungal nail infections are very chronic. They're tricky to get rid of. They can coexist with the skin fungal infection, like athlete's foot. So you often need to look at both at the same time. So there's like several things that need to be looked at. The shoes, the socks, washing them in the socks in high temperatures. With a fungal infection, if it is very mild, so sometimes you can have that brown discoloration. Sometimes it's very mild. And if it's only on one section, one option as a podiatrist that we're trained to do is to do a kind of like a cosmetic nail surgery. So like that, we give local anaesthetic and remove the section of the nail and that takes that discolored part of the nail away. And then we would recommend that they use a topical antifungal on the nail bed in that little section. So that works very well if it's a narrow mild infection. Another option, though, if it is in a lot of toenails, will be to attend the GP and get their blood tests taken and make sure that they're suitable for terbinafine, Lamisil. It is very effective. There are lasers and
What is that you've just mentioned there?
The Lamisil. Yeah. It's a tablet. It's an antifungal tablet.
You might need if this is across a number
when it's on a lot of toes. And that's where the GPs are very important, and we work closely with the GPs to give them our, you know, what has worked or not worked and ask for their advice and whether they think it's suitable for that, you know, patient.
Isn't it amazing, Fergal, you can have, you know, your little baby toe and it's hurting and it can affect your whole life and your sleep and everything.
Absolutely, yeah. No, toes are huge. And like, from, you know, as Mary was saying, like, you know, the fungal infections, like, they're hard to treat. Like, they really are. Like, you're trying to file the tops of them, to file the different sides. You've got the topical lacquers to put on. You know, on top of that, we do people coming in, we get them to give little samples so we can send them to the lab and see what fungal infection is there, what dermatophytes are there, and if they're sensitive to certain antifungal tablets. Then on top of that, you're talking about... As Mary said, if we start a tablet course, you have to check their liver enzymes to see if they're okay beforehand and after, because sometimes it can be toxic on the liver. So, yeah, like that.
Really hard to get rid of, in other words.
It's chronic. It's very upsetting for people. Yes, they don't want to go to the beach. They don't want to go to the swimming pool. So it really affects their quality of life. And so some of our patients will come for like maintenance programs. I know that we try to, as podiatrists, will... Because maybe they can't take the tablets, maybe it interferes with other medications that they're on. It's also that these little fungal spores, they reproduce so quickly. So you can get rid of the infection and then it can come back. Right. So this is why, you know, any old slippers, old gardening shoes should
gone,
be kind of
get rid
binned.
Of them.
Yeah, exactly.
What about verrucas? Are they fungal?
No, they're viral. Viruses, yeah.
They're very hard to get rid of as well, aren't
they?
Yeah,
now there are some kind of more advanced treatments now, and one of those is called Swift. It has much better outcomes. And then we also would recommend people using zinc to try and boost their immune system. And that particular equipment, Swift, they're looking to see can that it's a microwave treatment. They're looking to see there's like large kind of research trials going on to see can that be used for killing the fungus and also boosting the immune system so that when the infection tries to come back, that you're able to fight
to
against
fight it. Fight back.
It's used in America more than here, but we use Swift a lot for verrucas and get really good outcomes. So,
right. Well, yeah. That's good to hear that's improving all the time. Now, a 48-year-old man has been in touch with us. Fergal, I'll give this one to you. Thick, flaky toenails. He reckons it looks like a nail fungus, but has tried many remedies over the years, but to no avail. He also has mild psoriasis, and he's wondering, could the nails be a psoriasis problem? So if you see thick, flaky toenails, what are you thinking?
Yeah, so exactly. He's nearly answered his question there, in that your differential is usually between psoriatic toes or a fungal nail infection. Certainly if he has psoriasis,
it's probably psoriasis.
That's very difficult to treat, psoriatic nails, in our experience. And often we refer to dermatology for that, but it's hard to penetrate. Like the skin condition works better in terms of topical treatments and the systemic treatments that are there. But the nails, again, it's hard to penetrate.
Right.
I don't really have much experience with it.
Yeah, difficult thing with psoriatic nails is that they bleed very easily.
Yeah.
And where a fungal infection won't really, in the nail, won't bleed. But psoriatic nails, and often we see it associated with psoriatic arthritis. It's one of the things that you go, okay, if they have it in their nails, are they a higher risk of the arthritis, which is an inflammatory type of arthritis. So a lot of those who do suffer with it just need to file the nails gently because they bleed so easily and it can be very painful.
What file with what?
With in their own nail file. And then
like an emery board
like
or something,
an emery board, but very gently because
you don't want them to bleed.
Yeah, the nail bed will be that's where the psoriasis is. It's in the in the nail bed.
And now here's a direction from somebody. Discuss bad corns and how to deal with them. These are from Thai chews, aren't they?
They could be for, you know, lots. Yeah, they're from friction, from too much friction. Uh-huh. So whether the friction is compression, like, you know, something on the top or at the side, or whether the foot's twisting inside a shoe, seed corns would be one. There are also ones that are neurovascular corns or ones that are related to smoking, would you believe? So sometimes as podiatrists, we can have an idea that somebody might be smoking, and it could be another reason to give up cigarettes because they form these really neurovascular corns, are incredibly painful. So a lot of it's down to the shape of the foot, how they're running, walking, playing tennis, the footwear they're in.
And you can put on the corn plaster, which sort of relieves it, doesn't it?
Well, we don't recommend that because often they have acid in them and that'll cause a burn and will cause a little ulceration, particularly if they're diabetic or have any underlying, you know, circulatory.
So you want to remove them, are you saying? Vascular.
You know, the best thing to do with a corn is to go to a podiatrist and we'll remove the corn and then look at the mechanics of why is it forming in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a great story of this guy who had a really sore hip. He used to get a corn on the outside of his fifth toe. As the hip joint got worse, his corn got worse because his toe was turning outwards all the time. He got his hip replaced and the corn went away because he
incredible.
No longer had to turn his foot out.
Pincer toenails, Fergal. My big toe and the second toe have developed pincer nails in the last 2 years. It's not fungicide. It's been tested and it's very painful. So is the nail split there?
So it's kind of curving. It's going to kind of accentuate a curve. If you look at your own kind of fingernails for a guide, like there's a natural curve there.
Yeah.
While pincer nails, it's far more exaggerated. So it's almost like half
yes.
a tube.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So there, and I suppose that's a good example of the different techniques you use to trim your nails. Like, you know, that if you've got pincer nails, you have a whole different issue because you need to kind of file the edges to avoid it digging in. But they're much higher risk for ingrown toenails then because of the shape of them. They're already kind of growing into the nail folds, the skin folds on the side of the nail. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Okay. All right. Listen, we'll leave it there, but we'll have to have you back because we've so many questions coming in. You won't be surprised to hear. Thank you both for being with us. Mary Moore, who's a podiatrist, and Dr. Fergal McNamara, who's a GP at Pierce Street Medical. Now, Aine and Ilana will be next to talk about all of the animals that live right in the heart of Dublin City.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.